That's one of the impulses of point of view. The primary impulse of the point of view is to take an extreme measure. And when we really believe that points of view have meaning in and of themselves, then we end up taking a lot of extreme measures. But not because we see ourselves as unbalanced or anything like that. We do it because we're sure that by taking this measure, whatever it is, then we're going to have more well-being. So our need to find meaning in points of view is related to just wanting well-being and wanting to relieve anxiety. So, for example, with your sister, she feels some anxiety somewhere or some lack, and she's trying to find a way to not feel that lack and to not feel that anxiety. And for now, that's associated with you. So you see, this is a very painful way of relating. It's a very painful way of relating. Now, Lars sitting back there, well, he's been practicing short moments many times to the degree that he has arrived at profound wisdom. And so you see, when we think of wisdom and arriving at wisdom or being wise, we may think that, well, we're going to be writing a book on wisdom or something like that. But wisdom is very ordinary, just like awareness is very ordinary. Ordinary awareness, it is not a big deal. Awareness is required for every single perception we have about anything. So ordinary awareness is already present in that perception, ordinary wisdom. And by the power of short moments of awareness repeated many times, that wisdom becomes more and more obvious. From the very first short moment, there is a short moment of wisdom. A short moment of wisdom is free from the need to have a positive perception or positive meaning associated with something, and also free of the need to have negative meaning. So what we could say about wisdom is that if I have wisdom about you, then that wisdom is free from negative perceptions about you. It's completely free of negative perceptions about you. When I look at you, I see sky. That's all I see. I don't need to have ideas about you, either positive or negative. I'm completely free of those ideas. So that's what wisdom is. And or when you look at a relationship and you see, well, the relationship, it's just like the sky. There isn't anything in it for me. Getting together with somebody, there's nothing in that. There's nothing in that that can either enhance you or take you down. You see, so this is a very, very powerful realization. And at the same time, initially, it can be a little scary as well. Like you said, well, you know, am I going to be single forever? Does this rule out relationships? No, in fact, it gives a balanced view and clarity to forming relationship. Because when you form relationship, then you're so clear that you don't need a relationship. There's nothing that a relationship can give you that's going to make you whole. So you've reached that point of realizing that relationships with other people don't lead to feeling whole. They don't lead to well-being. And this is true with any point of view. And the importance of short moments many times is this freedom, this complete freedom from negative perceptions, complete freedom from positive perception. So in the regard of relationship, it would be saying, well, if I have a relationship, then my life's going to be positive. and free of negative perceptions would be, well, if I don't have a relationship, my life is going to be negative. So you see, we get very wrapped up in these ideas about how we want things to be. But what is really important to us overall is complete well-being. It's to have complete well-being, and that is within our grasp. It's within our grasp in each short moment of awareness. However, to practice awareness requires that we be entirely ready. And this is the subject of Inquiry 6, becoming entirely ready. Becoming entirely ready to practice short moments. Now, that may seem very obvious, but really each of us can ask ourselves, are we entirely ready? Are we entirely ready to be committed to one simple practice whereby we're going to see increasing wisdom on a daily basis, whereby we're going to see increasing compassion, increasing insight, increasing mental and emotional stability, increasing skill in all of our activities? Are we willing to keep it that simple? Are we willing to keep it just that simple? Are we willing to acknowledge that any answer we need about anything will be found in that short moment of awareness? It'll be found in that short moment of wisdom. Are we really, really willing to accept that that is so, that we are so simple, that we're already so complete, that we're already so entirely whole, that by simply relying only on short moments of awareness, we could become more and more acquainted with the power of our own being? When we try to complicate things with all our points of view and relying on those to either feel good or feel bad, then we never know that simplicity. We never know that total simplicity that is so easy. But if we rely on short moments, if we're just willing to always go beyond anything we might feel, you know, whether it's regret or wanting or around having a child or feeling ambitious in your career, just knowing that short moments will lead you all the way, everything you need to do. Short moments doesn't mean becoming a vegetable. Well, you can be a vegetable, though, if you want to. It's up to you. But actually, by the power of short moments, tremendous energy is released, tremendous energy for being of benefit to all. And this is naturally occurring, so you don't have to try to cultivate or foster wanting to be of benefit to all. It just naturally occurs in short moments. That's the power of it, the naturally occurring, spontaneous power of it. Everything that you might ever want to know about anything will be provided in those short moments. Now, anyone who has practiced short moments for a while can attest to that. When we consider all the things we have to do in our lives, just to take a year, two, or three to commit to what is more important than anything, gaining confidence and awareness is really a very, very small portion of our entire life. And by doing so, then we really get to see the fruits of the practice right away in a very profound way. We really get to see the importance of gaining confidence and awareness And we really can't see that unless we take advantage of the practice. Now, for some people come and they already have a restful mind. And so they hear about gaining confidence and awareness, and it's that's for me. That really speaks directly to who I am. And it could be someone with a very high IQ, or it could be someone with a low IQ. It doesn't matter. It could be a physicist, and it could be someone who doesn't have a job, either one. Or maybe it's someone who doesn't have a job who is a physicist. But in any event, awareness is present in everyone. There isn't anyone who is devoid of awareness. Do you see what I'm saying? You wouldn't even know that you're here without awareness. So that's how obvious it is. Awareness is completely obvious. And awareness is always completely free of perceptions. And I can prove that to you right here, because if awareness was bound to any point of view or perception, then it couldn't go on. It couldn't go on. It couldn't be present for every other perception. So this is a good way to look at it, that just by training in points of view, awareness becomes less obvious. But by training in awareness, points of view become less obvious. Very simple proposition. Now, the value proposition with training in points of view has a huge downside. If we train in points of view, then it isn't good for us. We just don't feel good about ourselves or about other people or about life. Whereas training in awareness has a huge upside, more of an upside than any other investment we can make. By training in awareness, we gradually free ourselves up from points of view. And this comes about very quickly. By relying on one practice, it really comes about very quickly. And it's just as simple as what Matt and Adam shared, that the short moments of awareness, that it might not seem like it's going to work at first, or it may seem to work only a little, or it may not seem like such a big deal. But however it seems, continue on. Continue on. Be entirely ready. Be entirely ready to allow yourself to feel good. Really, it's a matter of how good you want to feel. How good do you want to feel about yourself? How good do you want to feel about life? How good do you want to feel about the world that you live in? That's ensured in short moments. In a short moment of awareness, everything is vast and open like the sky, because it is an acknowledgement of what already is. Everything is already resting in awareness. Everything is already completely held by awareness. So there really isn't anyone to rest or anything to rest. Everything is always resting. And by relying on effortlessness, this becomes very obvious. And then awareness can be completely free, as it already is. It's never been congested by any point of view. It's never been made into any point of view. Now, there are points of view that can be very, very painful. And certainly regret is one of those. It's a point of view that can be quite painful, as can a point of view of wanting something desperately, like wanting a child or wanting success in your young life or whatever it might be. Seeing these things as something essential to your long-term happiness. But what you really need to rely on is what is most essential to your long-term happiness. Many of you here are very, very young, And this is what is most essential to your long-term happiness. More important than anything, more important than any money you can earn or any job you have or any education you get. It's more important than anything. And so when you're very, very lucky that you're young and you're here, you're very, very lucky that that is the case, because you in your young life have learned what is essential. You've learned what's really, really essential. And now it's up to you to either take advantage of that or not. When you do take advantage of it, you enter a realm of power within yourself, within your body, speech, and mind that you will never know about otherwise. You will never, ever know about it otherwise. And say you're not young, you're old, or somewhere in between. Well, if you're old, you're only going to get older. In getting old, there are very few comforts, because all the doing you realize isn't going to lead anywhere. So the searching for the relationship, or the searching for the perfect education, or the searching to accumulate money, or whatever, notoriety, or whatever it might be. When you're old, you look back and you see that even though you may have been able to acquire all those things, that they really don't lead to happiness. If you think a child is going to lead to happiness, well, most children do not lead to happiness. You see, children, like any other experience in life, it's filled with all kinds of points of view, but now it's not only your points of view, but the child's points of view as well. And if you see another adult as being essential to having a child, now you have your points of view, the other adult's points of view, and the child's points of view. So what I've talked about this many, many times, that often we get involved in compulsive seeking for relief and well-being through the attainment of different life experiences. So we think, oh, falling in love, that's it. I'm going to get my relationship and then it'll really be great. So then we get in the relationship, and at first everything is glorious. We're totally in love. We rule the world. Oh, it feels so good. This is just so ideal. And we look around, and everyone we didn't like before, now that we're in love, we like everyone. And people that we couldn't even look at, or we'd have to cross the street to avoid them, we can just say, hi, how are you? You know, because we're in love. And we're always going to feel this way, too. We just know it. Because ours is a special love. It's not like the love of divorce or other kinds of fractured relationship. This is a special love we have. And everyone who falls in love feels this. Every single person who falls in love feels exactly the same way. However, it's very rare that that lasts. It's exceedingly rare. Why is it exceedingly rare? Because it takes exceeding maturity and wholeness for that love to be kept alive. It's only when that love is fully alive in and of itself that it can stay alive in a relationship. So, you know, then ideally it would be fully alive in both people. This is the ideal relationship. This is a relationship without expectations. And then when the love starts to not be present, this falling in love disappears, then we blame the other person for it. Even if we don't do it consciously, logically, and reasonably, emotionally, we blame the other person. And we're sure that the other person needs to change in order for this love to come back. This is just the way it is over and over and over again. This is the whole compulsive influence of points of view. We're absolutely sure the other person needs to change in order for love to be present. Well, this is never the way it is. It's never the case. And then many times too, we have this relationship, we have a commitment we've made, and the falling in love isn't there anymore, and we want it so desperately, so we think, aha. We might wake up in the middle of the night one night and we think, aha, a child is the answer. Let's have a child. So then the child comes, and at first it's that falling in love feeling again. Oh, wow, it's so wonderful. But then the demands of parenting and raising a child, they set in very quickly, and it's very, very obvious that there are all kinds of points of view associated with raising a child. And children are just whoever they are. Have you ever noticed that? And they're not open to reason for a long time. So now, not only do you have your two adult people, but you have another human being with you who is not open to reason for a very long time. In fact, they may never be open to reason as long as you know them. So ideally, when we fall in love, we want someone who is a perfect match for us. And also, when we have a child, we want a child who is a perfect match for us. They're going to be our tried and true companion throughout life. Well, are you a tried and true companion to your parents throughout life? So you see, even though we seek relationships, whether it's with a significant other, children, or whatever it is, or we don't really examine what is necessary for true happiness. If we had put all our seeking into examining what was necessary for our own true happiness, then we'd really have the basis for a relationship. But like Lars said, we may not want one. Well, we'll see. We'll see for Lars, we'll see for everyone. Now, you mentioned the ethical and moral impulse. The ethical and moral impulse, it cannot be set up in a system of laws that can be relied upon. Have you ever noticed that? Human culture has never been able to codify morals and ethics into a system that support all people in having well-being. It's never happened. It has never happened. However, in awareness, in wisdom awareness, in naked wisdom awareness, there is an ethical impulse, a moral impulse that is naturally present. It can't even be called intuitive or anything like that, because intuition is really just a point of view. There's only awareness with all these points of view. The more confidence that is gained in awareness, the more of a spontaneous ethical impulse there is. What are ethics? Well, ethics are our moral system turned outwards. So they're the way our own inner moral system appears in our own behavior. What greater moral and ethical system could we have than the moral and ethical system of wisdom awareness, which allows us to be of benefit to all in all of our activities, which includes being of benefit to ourselves, which allows us to have complete mental and emotional stability, which allows us to have profound insight into everyone. Everyone we meet, we have profound insight into. What could be greater than that? So you see, this is the basis of true compassion, of true connection, of true human society, of human society that is really profound and great. And all of this comes from gaining confidence and awareness. It really comes from gaining confidence and awareness. Even if our parents or churches or whatever might teach us the difference between bad and good, we'll always be living in a world of difference if we take up those ideals. And there are very, very few people who can ever live up to those ideals. Very few people. However, by gaining in confidence and awareness, we can all live up to that, the ideal of spontaneous morality and ethics. This is a much better way to go. Laws don't work. Or they work in a very primitive way. Now, some of the people who receive the Great Freedom Teaching are in prison. And the prison where we first started sharing the teaching, we first started sharing it with people on death row, or they were in prison for life, men who were on death row or in prison for life. So that means that either they had violated the codes of society, or they hadn't violated them and they were in prison by mistake, either on death row or in prison for life. So this happens, you know, this happens all too often that someone is wrongly accused. But in either way, there is an incredible proliferation of points of view associated with being in prison and being in that situation. It's a culture all its own. And by the power of gaining confidence and awareness, and the men are so ripe for gaining confidence and awareness because there aren't any antidotes that they can take advantage of any longer. Their world of antidotes has ceased to exist, including the antidote of criminal activity, if in fact that's what they've done. And so you see, they're very quick to take to the Great Freedom. And they just laugh eventually and they say, wow, I'm in prison, but I've never felt so free. So you see that they've come into that ethical and moral impulse within themselves. No amount of psychoanalysis or criminology could ever stop them from doing what they did or really understanding their behavior. Only confidence and awareness can help people understand why we do what we do. That's it. We have to have wisdom to be able to understand why we do what we do. Whether we're in a maximum security prison on death row or whether we're running around out here. That's the basis. That's the only basis. And when we look at our daily life, it really becomes so simple because on a daily basis, each of us live a life. We live a 24-hour span of life every single day. And in that 24-hour lifespan of each day, we have thoughts, emotions, sensations, and other experiences. That is all life is. It isn't anything else. When we keep it that simple, it becomes possible to see that there's something about us that is so pure, it is so simple, it is so wholly positive, and it is so right. If we complicate it with all kinds of ideas about what we are and what we have to do about it, then we become confused and deluded. We don't even know what's going on. But if we keep it so simple, then it becomes very easy. We don't have more than this moment. We really don't have more than this moment. That's all we have. If we allow everything just to be as it is in this moment, then everything is spacious. It's open. We're just here. There's nothing to be done about it. By the power of that, we will know what to do when the next moment comes. We don't have to spend this moment worrying about the next moment or plummeting into the past moments to try to make sense of them. The only way we're going to make really good sense of our past moments or our future moments is in the restfulness of right now. That's it. We can't really say that those past moments exist. If they really existed, where are they now? We can't say anything about them. So why not just relax completely right here? Let everything be as it is. Know as much as you can know about effortlessness. Effortlessness is effortless. However, by driving ourselves with all kinds of effort, we come to believe that effort is required to complicate who we are. Just live moment to moment. And if that seems like way too much for you, just try one day at a time. One day at a time. Just say, for today, I'm going to be happy and at rest. Just for today. Just for today. I'm not going to worry about yesterday or tomorrow. Just for today, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be totally at ease. And I'm going to know that if I never accomplish anything else in my life, I will have had a fantastic life because I will have all these days of effortlessness. You see, so this is very simple. It's very simple. Just like we're all very simple. I, like everyone else, tried to complicate everything, but fortunately when I was young, it nearly drove me crazy. I just couldn't live in that way. It was way too uncomfortable. And I definitely couldn't see living my whole life like that, so I just collapsed into effortlessness. All the things that I strived for when I was an extreme doer. I was able to surpass any dream I ever dreamt of who I would be or what I would do. It all came about in effortlessness. You see, when I was an extreme doer, I couldn't possibly imagine or dream of anything like this. It would be impossible. Totally impossible. And so the same is true for all of you. Put all your dreams in effortlessness, no matter what they are. No matter if you're young or you're old, put all of your dreams, hopes, and aspirations, all of your ambitions in effortlessness. If you really want to parent something, parent effortlessness. That's the child you want to have. How many people here have children? Sometimes there are things that have happened to us in our life or have happened to other people we know that we cannot understand. They're just such atrocities that we cannot understand them, and we feel like we must understand whatever it is in order to feel complete. We absolutely must understand, and if we don't understand, then it's going to be our undoing. Most of us have something like this, at least one thing like this. But whatever these things are, they are cured by resting. They're cured by resting. They're completely cured by resting. It's impossible to understand why human beings do what they do to each other from the perspective of points of view. There can never be enough points of view accumulated that will create understanding about why human beings do what they do to each other. However, in awareness, you will find complete understanding. You just have to trust that. None of your psychological or intellectual mechanisms have led to understanding. Trust awareness, it will lead to understanding. The people you understand least, the things about yourself that you've done that you understand least, that make no sense to you, understanding will come about in awareness. It won't come about by psychoanalysis or intellectual speculation. It will come about in wisdom. Trust awareness for the sake of wisdom. It won't let you down. Okay? If you can't rest, if you just absolutely can't rest, just listen to the talks and read the teachings. And rest will start to permeate you.